Welcome to the podcast Social Work Successes, which aims to shine a big spotlight on the brilliant work that social work professionals do with children and families every day, because this is just not celebrated enough. Practitioners will be sharing their stories, which will hopefully not only inspire others, but also provide some helpful learning in relation to factors that may have contributed to that success. You guys deserve far more recognition than this podcast can give, but thank you for listening and everything you do for the families you work with. I am joined today for a really special episode with two parent experts who are currently working with other social work professionals in a group called the Dandelion Group. Now, we have featured them on one other episode, some of those professionals before. But I'm really fortunate today to have two of the parents who are working with that group. So the first thing to do would be to just introduce you guys. So it's rather confusing because we've got two Claires. So that's fine, but we will know which Claire we're talking to. If you just firstly introduce yourselves and then a little bit about your thoughts on the purpose of this group.
Purpose of the group for me is to help professionals and families together.
And I think for me, the purpose of the group and why I wanted to join was to help sort of build positive relationships between families and social workers. Well, not just social workers, professionals in general. And sort of for them to learn from us, for us to learn from them, and try and work together so we get more positive endings for the families, and people don't go through the process struggling quite as much as they do now. We just want to make it all just that little bit easier.
Yeah. And I think what I was drawn to when I've heard about this group is this idea of you all feeling like you're in exactly the same position. Yeah. You're all bringing your own expertise. There's no sense of one person being more powerful really in the room than the other.
Yeah. That's been a really important part of it. Definitely.
Yeah. And that must feel quite good and quite different compared to the experience when you have got a social worker involved with your family.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so it'll be good to hear from each of you about what you've been involved in so far in the group. So I've heard a little bit about the things that are going on, but it would be good to hear from each of you about what your contribution so far has sort of looked like.
Okay. Do you
want
to go? Okay. So for me, I've been supporting families under the family safeguarding team. It's a sort of a dual role. It's kind of as a peer parent advocate, so advocating for the family with professionals, but also in a support role in that the family I'm particularly working with has a child with additional needs, which is my experience. I've got a child with additional needs. So it's been that parent of lived experience, helping guide them through that process, but also kind of emotional support as well. So it's been quite a mixed bag.
How do you kind of offer that? Do you sort of exchange numbers or do you meet? What does that look like?
So it'll come through Claire. The referrals will come through Claire. And then I'll have like a meeting with the social worker and Claire will discuss what's needed. And then it will progress from there. The first time I'll go out with the social worker and introduce myself like that. And then from then, I'll do my own face-to-faces or phone calls and we build that relationship.
Okay, great. So I guess part of that then is, do you share what your kind of lived experience of that has been?
Yeah. You learn to be sort of selective with what you're saying. So you don't want to give too much detail, but you do need them to understand that or recognise that you've been there too and there's light at the end of the tunnel. That's what you want to do. You want to give hope. So I do share my experiences, and that for the mum I'm working with has been really beneficial because before I got in there, she felt like she was on her own. No one else was going through what she did. No one else was living with what she had to live with. Mm. And then meeting me and chatting with me has made her realise, actually, I'm not alone. There is somebody I can rant to, you know, and it's given her that support, I suppose.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important point about her hearing a story where there was a positive outcome, because I know that lots of parents, when they start engaging with a social worker in their family, they immediately feel really quite fearful about what might happen and how that's going to look. So, as you said, that idea of hope that like positive things can come out of things.
It doesn't always have to be bad. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Thanks, Claire. So other Claire, what sort of bits and pieces have you been involved in with the group?
There's all sorts, really. It's like I'm really interested on the CP side of things. So we've done development leaflets together as a group. I've had meetings to talk about the Changing Futures programme. We've done deliveries.
We've delivered training to social work students as a group.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what has that sort of included? What sort of bits and pieces have you thought would be helpful for them to know
about?
It was
trying to get them to recognise that lived experience parents have knowledge too. Just we wanted them to know that it shouldn't be them and us. It should be them and us working together. So our views and our points are as just as valid as theirs.
We've done role play in that and training.
We did role plays. We got all the students doing this role play. They loved us for that.
Role play's such a mixed bag, isn't it?
It's such a good tool.
I've missed it out before and people have been like, where's your role plays in this teaching? And I was like, oh, I didn't think people wanted to do it. So I think
it's so useful.
It's
a useful tool, definitely.
Yeah, it certainly puts you on the spot, but also sounds like a brilliant opportunity for you guys to really kind of shape and mold maybe some of those conversations, because presuming the role play is about conversations that they're having with parents.
It was about what we did, we role played so a family that was waiting for a social worker visit, so what was going on before the visit, and then we sort of stopped it as the social worker would knock the door, and we were saying, trying to say to them, right, if you saw this, what would your judgment be, what would you think? And so we were trying to get them to look at what they were seeing, and do you know what I mean? And what would they think? What would their judgment be? And then coming at them from a different angle and saying, well, actually, could it not have been this? Could it not have been that? And just getting them to look at the whole picture and not be quick to judge.
Incredible. So important. Yeah. I mean, getting them to see other angles, other perspectives before, I guess, acting on an immediate judgment, I think we all do. We can all end up acting immediately from a more kind of instinctive, judgmental place. But yeah, that sounds brilliant. Okay, so what sort of motivated you to be part of this group? Presumably somebody approached you and said, do you want to do it? What's kind of your reasons behind being part of it?
With me, I wanted to help children so they didn't end up like mine. Some lived experience with removal, so I don't want other people, families going through the same, so that's why I'm here.
And what a powerful motivation that is.
Absolutely.
And what about you, Claire?
Yeah, for me it was slightly different. So mine was sort of from the send angle, having an additional needs child, and I, as I was going through the process, and you know, we went on to sin and all kinds of things, my mental health, because of lack of support, was hitting the floor. And I just don't want families or mums or whoever's doing it to ever get as low as I did. I want them to know there's hope. I want them to know it's not going to be like this forever. So that's what drove me to get involved initially. But I find now I'm more involved in the CP side than the send side.
And I guess you can really share what that looked like for you in terms of mental health stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's such an important message again.
If we're not right, we can't help our children.
So what do you enjoy most about being part of this group and the work that you're doing?
For me, I think in the work that I'm doing, it is good to see families being able to achieve the goals that they're set with the right support. And it's being able to see them come out of that dark tunnel and know that things are slowly getting better. So I think that's always really nice to see that we're having a positive impact. Our input is helping people, and that's lovely. That's a lovely feeling to know you are doing that.
Huge that you are contributing to that, because I often talk about how it can feel quite overwhelming, I think, for parents to have these set objectives, you know, written down, and to be told, like, these are the things that you have to achieve, and we're basically going to just review whether you're achieving them or not. And if you're not achieving them, this is what's going to happen. And I often talk about how that actually feels quite like a business model of working.
Yes.
And actually what we're working with is, it's really kind of complex, emotional, familial situations that require
a lot of... It's their lives, isn't it?
Exactly. It's people. Yeah. You know, our business, if you like, it's people. It's really kind of important that we see that, and therefore that we are offering the right kind of support and intervention to meet those objectives. So I guess this group, and it sounds like from what you just described, Claire, is actually... contributing to somebody potentially being able to achieve those things and make those
that
changes.
Is the hope.
Great. Okay. What about you, Claire? What do you enjoy most about being part of this group?
I enjoy the learning and the professional side, although I didn't have a lot of knowledge, so I like the fact is that I'm sucking it all in. And we like to feel like we're being proactive and making a difference within families and within services.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. I guess thinking now a little bit more about your own stories, what would you say were some of the challenges or difficulties that you faced in the relationship that you had with your child's social worker?
I'm gonna hand this one over to Claire, because my sort of experience with social work was different on the SIN side of things. So,
quite difficult with the communication with the social worker. My anxiety, the judgment, everything I felt from everyone.
Just overwhelming.
I was being judged as a young mom with seven children. That's how it was for me.
So in terms of that communication, what did that look like that you found difficult or kind of contributed to the struggle? Was it that there wasn't much communication? Was it the style of communication?
I think it was all a bit about everything. It was a very complex case with my children, but the fact is that I was told on the Friday I was doing good and had the court papers on the Monday. There's no communication about me doing good.
So this is a theme that comes up quite a lot when I speak to parents, and it came up in my research. So my PhD research was with parents as well, who were kind of in the midst of that process of being under assessment, often within sort of court proceedings. And something that came up quite a lot for them was feeling like there wasn't that sort of openness and honesty. And it sounds like that was a similar experience you might have had. So I think there's lots of complex reasons for why that happens, but I think some of it is sometimes a bit of anxiety or fear in them of raising some of these issues or how to raise some of those issues. But I think most professionals would say that should never happen, that actually you should really have such a clear picture of what any of those worries are before hearing it somewhere else. You know, being able to hear that in your home is still very difficult, I imagine, to process and hear that. But it feels very different to having to read it in a document or, hearing it from somebody else at a conference. So that's such a strong theme that I hear all the time. Like, from the start, let's be honest with each other. And I think that message has to come across more at the beginning of building
absolutely,
those relationships.
Absolutely. And that, again, goes back to the breaking down the barrier of them and us. If you know, people feel like they're not being dictated to by a social worker, they're being listened to by a social worker, they're going to open up more. And, you know, you're going to be able to work together to deal with the issues.
Yeah, and I think there's something in there, isn't there, of being like, look, as a social worker saying, look, I might have worries, and so as soon as I have those worries, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to talk
Yeah.
those through. Equally, you might have worries about me,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
make sure you're coming to me with those as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, that just that mutuality of like feeling like there isn't that huge power imbalance
Yeah, yeah.
is so important, isn't it? To create that as much as we can. Okay. So what would you, what I guess coming back to the other Claire, following on from what we just
Yeah.
talked about, what would you have liked that relationship? How would you have liked that relationship to have been different? So we've just said being more open, being more honest. Is there anything else you
Wasn't
can think?
that right? just like the way you speak to people, you know, it's I always used to get spoken down to. I'm like everybody else. So
Have
yeah.
you, just because it might be, I mean, this might be an impossible question, but just because it might be helpful for other people to hear, have you got any examples of when, I mean, you might struggle to remember, but just something that was maybe said or the way something was said that kind of links in with that? It might just be a really impossible question.
Yeah.
I have got a good word about a social worker. It just wasn't
Yeah.
No,
No. She has listed some positives here about a good social worker that she had.
Okay, that's fine. We'll move on to that question. But yeah, it's probably, I imagine it's quite difficult because when you're in it and you're living it, you're not
Yeah.
exactly kind of really holding on to everything that's said. But I imagine it's
Absolutely.
just this kind of general feeling that
Yeah.
you felt or the impression that you got.
It was about being a young mom with seven children, all close in age. I used to get judged a lot by professionals and anyone.
Yeah. And did that some, I'm just trying to pick this apart. Did that sometimes come across in the way that it was it words that were said to you or like
I find it very rude,
looks?
the way they would look, the way they would say it. Yeah, I find it very rude, but.
Okay. And did you feel able to say to them at any point, this was how you were experiencing that
No.
relationship?
No.
No. Okay. But it sounds like you guys now are really empowering other people to be able to do that,
Yeah.
which is brilliant. Okay. So let's move on to the second to last question, which is about positive, any positive elements to that relationship that you've had maybe with any of the social work professionals that you were involved with. What would you describe might have been a positive element that they brought to that relationship?
Oh, I had a lovely man, I did. He'd listen to me, he'd support me in meetings. He actually come and told me that I was bringing my daughter home, 3 days old. He was amazing.
He treated you with respect
Yeah.
as well.
Okay,
He spoke to me
great.
like a person.
Yeah, so important. And I'm really sorry that you ever had an experience where you felt anything different to that. But yeah, really good to know that you did have then had had another experience where you felt that kind of more of a relational connection with someone. Just so important. And what about you, Claire?
So for me, working alongside social workers, it's been nice that they treat me as an equal to them. So that's been a nice experience that they value my input just as much as I value their input, which has been really good. And I've been able to work with the social worker. You know, we have conversations and we try and figure out things that we can do for the family. And so that's been really good that she was open to listening to me, you know, and that's made a real difference, I think. And I think she's benefited from it too.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
It
so
sounds like it.
that's been sort of for me when we were going through the sin thing, there wasn't a social care need, but the social workers that came out to me were always very respectful, you know. I mean, my son destroys his bedroom on a regular basis. It's my deepest shame. But they were really good about it. They were just understanding. They didn't judge me for it. And it was so I was really lucky, really lucky.
Yeah. So it feels like some themes from this, I guess, are that openness, honesty, lack of judgment.
Absolutely, just being human.
Yeah, and it sounds like, Claire, with your other experience with this guy, that you, I guess, felt a sense maybe that he was caring about what was happening for you, you know, and your daughter, and had a kind of vested interest in wanting things to go well for you, which, again, I think being able to maybe feel that from the start is quite an important element to bring to that relationship too. Okay, so the last question then is just about the, what advice would you give to, I mean, it sounds like you're already doing this anyway with your training and stuff, but what would be some advice that you would give to newly qualified social workers who are just starting off on their journey, about to be, you know, having groups of families that they're going to be assigned to working with? What would you give as a kind of piece of helpful advice in thinking about that engagement and their relationships with families?
So I'll come at it from the send perspective. If there's a child that is diagnosed neurodiverse or is suspected neurodiverse, listen to the parents. The parents are the people that are raising these children every single day. We're managing their triggers, we're managing their needs, we're the ones that are getting them where they need to be. So use that. It's a valuable resource. These parents know, you know, they may not be getting it 100% right, but they're the ones living it. So use that resource. And I'm a big believer in that.
So do you mean in terms of just like getting a clearer picture of what life looks like?
Absolutely. Just, you do find with a lot of workers, they come in and there's no understanding of neurodiversity, particularly like ADHD. So, and as parents, because, you know, you get your diagnosis, but then you get nothing else. So then we have to educate ourselves. So we find, I found that I had far more knowledge than the professionals that were involved with my family. So it was like, you know, use that knowledge, take that knowledge from me and use it to make it better. And so, yeah, I just think you've got to listen to the parents, because they're the ones living it every single day. They're the ones that see all these little bits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And Claire?
Take in consideration the needs of not only the children, but the family as a whole. Because there's not a lot of that. And it needs to be in. Needs to be in place.
We know that the children are priority, but I think if you're looking at a family, you need to look at the full picture.
100%. Couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I say that all the time, that that being child focused, in order to be child focused, you have to be parent focused. You have to be looking at the parents' needs. You have to be looking at what's going on for them and trying to build a relationship with them, because without that, you're never going to be able to fully kind of understand the experience of that child. Yeah. But also you're not going to be able to move forward with trying to bring about any kind of positive change. So, yeah, I completely agree that it's really important being as parent focused as you are child focused, and those relationships are key.
The only other thing I would say is, you find with a lot of professionals when they go in, I'm particularly talking about neurodiverse kids again, if these kids haven't got a diagnosis, it's automatically assumed that it's parenting that's wrong. And so my other thing would be, don't assume it's parenting. Don't always place the blame at the parent's door, because sometimes it's really not. The parent's doing exactly, you know, doing as much as they can. But with it, say, if it's a neurodiversity, you don't understand it. Nobody teaches us all of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just don't jump to blaming the parents is a big one for me.
Yeah, and I guess that's, that kind of comes back to that idea of withholding judgment, and it's very difficult, isn't it, because there will be some children that are being worked with where that perhaps maybe there isn't an organic underlying cause, and it might be because of, you know, attachment difficulties or the relationship. So it's kind of about coming in and being open to
just not assuming.
No, absolutely. Okay. Brilliant. Well, thanks so much, ladies. I think that's going to be really, really helpful.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is really in its infancy phase, so please do like, share, subscribe, tell your colleagues, tell your managers, tell anyone else that you think might benefit. Thank you.